the Stop and Think News podcast begins now.
Hello, everybody. Joe from Stop and Think News here. So here's a great story that I thought you should hear, especially if you're from California. This is from Breitbart, and this is from a few days ago, actually. I just saw it today for the first time. They did an audit, and California lost track of $24 billion spent to combat homelessness. They have no idea where it went. California Governor Gavin Newsom's administration lost track of the $24 billion in taxpayers' funds it spent over the past 5 years in an attempt to curb the state's homeless crisis. An audit has found. The California State Auditor's Report, released on April 9th, detailed multiple gaps in accountability in regards to how the money was allocated during the 2018 to 2023 fiscal years. Lead auditor Grant Parks said the state has not collected sufficient data to prove that the billions of dollars improved the situation. Parks, who was appointed by Newsom in 2022, added in the report that the California Interagency Council on Homelessness has not consistently tracked and evaluated the state's efforts to prevent and end homelessness since 2021. The CALICH is what they call it, CALICH. That's the abbreviated term for the California Interagency Council on Homelessness, CALICH. Yeah. Has also not aligned its action plan to end homelessness with its statutory goals to collect financial information and ensure accountability and results, the report states. Thus, it lacks assurance that the actions it takes will effectively enable it to achieve those goals. In short, there's no way to determine if money actually went to providing real help to homeless people. Conservatives around the state are now demanding answers. Of course they are. With California Assembly Republican leader James Gallagher calling out Newsom directly. This is standard Gavin Newsom. Make a splashy announcement, waste a bunch of taxpayer money, and completely fail to deliver, Gallagher told Fox News. Californians are tired of the homeless crisis, and they're even more tired of Gavin's excuses. We need results, period. Full stop. Sorry, excuse me. Representative Kevin Kiley took to X to slam the governor for trying to prevent the audit. I first asked for the audit in 2020, but Newsom intervened to kill it. Now we know why he didn't want his spending examined, the congressman wrote. Last year, Assemblyman Josh Hoover got the audit approved, and the findings released today are even worse than I expected. Meanwhile, homelessness has increased by 32% in California over the past 5 years. It has increased 67% in Sacramento, and half of the nation's unsheltered homeless now live in our state, he continued. Because it's warm there. It's warm there. They're dropping off illegals in Michigan, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, these people are coming from all these warm nations around the globe, and they're losing, like, they don't, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? Anyway, so if half the nation's homeless live there, then last year when the president of China came, or whatever you call him, the PM of China came, they had no problem cleaning up the homeless issue. And where did they take them? Where did they all go overnight? Like, people there were surprised. There was news agencies like, well, how did they do this? And then you find out that they use human fertilizer, and I think Washington or Oregon, made from human remains, feces, and so on crops, or they're allowing it. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, but hey, you know, that's just my weird brain. If we ever find out that that's true, just remember, you heard it here first, Stop and Think News. I wouldn't be surprised at all, to be honest. The next thing that I wanted to talk about, before we move on, I figured I better throw this in here. They have finished jury selection for the Trump hush money case. I think there are four women and eight men on the jury panel after the liberals melted down that we knew about who the jurors were and why they were, not selected to be on the jury. Some of them, they finally finished the process and it's all good. We've got the people. Now we can move on with the hush money case. If you go back a few shows, as I told you, Trump's old lawyer, I can't think of his name right now, was apparently having a relationship with Stormy Daniels, not Trump. It was his old lawyer, Michael Cohen, that was having the relationship, and those two conspired to take Trump's money. And I think Avenatti knows that. I think he figured it out. He's on Truth Social saying pro-Trump shit. Like, I don't know, man. Something's off there, but we're doing this anyway, just like we did the E. Jean Carroll nonsense. He was not convicted of rape. He was convicted of sexual assault based on a storyline that came straight from Law and Order. So cool. So I found this. I feel like it's important. I feel like it's important for this to play. I'm not a big Dr. Phil fan by any means. I don't think he's a good dude. But I do feel like this particular clip needs to be played. It's 15 minutes, 29 seconds long. I don't know that we're going to watch all of it. I haven't watched this. So you're watching this with me or listening, depending on where you're at right now. You're hearing this for the first time with me one way or another. So let's take a listen to this and see what we hear about the truth behind Teen Transgender Clinic Exposed, is what it's called, Dr. Phil. So here we go.
The hospital was secretly performing these procedures on children as young as 11.
I will go through the wrong puberty, making so many changes to me that I do not want.
Quote unquote, this gender affirming care could be investigated as child abuse.
The most important hormonal process in the development of children into adults is stopped.
Doctors are acting like they're God. We were lying to parents.
They had said they would no longer provide hormone-related interventions for transgender kids.
Did they stop?
They did not. They were implanting these drug delivery devices in children as young as 11, 12, 13 years old.
A ban on gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth went into effect in Texas today, making it the most populous state to date with such a ban. An estimated 30,000 young people in Texas between the ages of 13 and 17 identify as transgender. The new law revokes the medical licenses of any doctor who provides minors with gender-affirming medical care.
22 states have laws on the books that ban some form of gender-affirming care for transgender minors, meaning they either ban puberty blockers, hormone treatments, or surgeries, or all three.
Without getting this medication, I will go through the wrong puberty, making permanent changes to me that I do not want.
These are things that are being done to children under the age of 18 that are irreversible, that will cause side effects, complications, and abnormalities that they will have to live with for the entirety of the rest of their life.
I have studied the research, and there is no other instance where a medical profession has proceeded with little or no evidence showing whether or not these hormonal treatments are safe long term. And these treatments certainly are not reversible. That's exactly why our guest tonight, Dr. Anton Heim, says he blew the whistle on Texas Children's Hospital. Dr. Heim made major headlines after claiming the hospital was secretly performing these procedures on children as young as 11.
In March of 2022, the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton issued an opinion stating that, quote unquote, this gender-affirming care could be investigated as child abuse. So in response to that, Texas Children's Hospital, the largest children's hospital in the world, issued a statement publicly, unequivocally stating they were going to shut down their transgender program. And for me, this was a huge relief. But it was very soon after that I found out this was categorically untrue. People would tell me about how they were implanting these puberty blocking devices into 11, 12, 13-year-old kids. They told me about how these kids had all these psychiatric issues that were going unmanaged and just being attributed to this one thing. The reason they were hiding this program was because they knew it was controversial. They knew that the people of Texas wouldn't approve of it. Every kid who walks into that clinic is being told that they have to adopt this identity instead of telling these kids that they're perfect the way they are and they can grow up to be something amazing. And they're doing it for their own self-righteousness. And once I knew that was happening, it was something that I knew I had to do something about, because if people knew I had the ability to make a change or speak up about it and they knew I stayed silent, then, you know, I could never forgive myself, and I don't think future generations would too.
Well, Dr. Heim joins us today, and I want to be very clear about one thing, because I have looked at the documentation that you provided, and it looks to me like you went to painstaking levels to protect the identity of the patients involved.
Yeah, so absolutely nothing was disclosed. I mean, it was important for me as a doctor, you have a responsibility to take care of patients. And you go into medicine because you want to do that. You want to protect patients from the diseases that affect them. But you never imagine that you have to protect these patients from the hospitals. And when I knew that the hospital was lying to the public about this program, I have a responsibility to do something about it. I have a responsibility as a surgeon and then as a person.
You spoke up because you said the hospital was lying to the public about what they were and were not doing, correct?
Yes, sir. In March 2022, they had said they would no longer provide hormone-related interventions for transgender kids because of the legal risks. And that is as unequivocal as it gets.
Did they stop?
So they did not. And the reason I knew that, because I worked there. You know, in the months following that, people I worked with had told me they were implanting these drug delivery devices in children as young as 11, 12, 13 years old. And, you know, to hear that this was still happening after the fact that they said they had stopped was unimaginable. You know, every indication was that this program was shut down. But behind closed doors, they not only continued it, but expanded it into a multidisciplinary clinic. And when I saw that they were having lectures, they were giving the directors of a program that supposedly did not exist, they were given the opportunity to speak at the hospital's most prestigious lecture series. They were given conferences where they were talking about concealing it from the public. And as a doctor, you know, you have a responsibility to the people you take care of. If you're not willing to defend what you're doing to those people in the public eye, then it's very likely you're doing something very, very wrong.
Tell us what we're looking at here.
Yeah, so what you can see is that they were continuing these procedures after they said they had stopped. What the drug delivery devices are is, you know, small little device, you know, maybe about.
So you heard that correctly. I'm just going to stop it here for a minute. We're just a little ways. We're about halfway through. So, but this is insanity. This is just crazy. So they announced publicly, oh, we're going to stop these treatments, and then continue doing them secretly? How does that work? How do you find out that they're secretly still doing it? From your personal doctor? From the hospital itself? From somebody at school? From a teacher at school? Like, this is insanity. Why are they so hell-bent on destroying our children's bodies? Nobody asks this. Nobody asks why that is. Like, it's just, I don't know. This just seems insane to me. And I remember hearing about this, and I guess he's the guy that brought it to light. And it's just, it's so crazy that they can announce to the public one thing, and then they're doing something secret behind the scenes, regardless of saying they aren't. It just seems crazy. It seems like mad scientist type nonsense, right? Like, you used to see that in movies in the 80s, man. The guy would be like, oh, I'm not doing that. And he's got some secret freaking underground lab, and he's doing, you know? I don't know, guys. It's a crazy world, right? It's a crazy world.
Centimeter, 2 centimeters, you know, not very big. And you place it into the arm of a patient, and it will deliver puberty blockers into their body for a long period of time, preventing the onset of puberty. So the most important hormonal process in the development of children into adults is stopped. So that just doesn't affect like your mind. It has huge effects on your mind, but it affects your body in permanent ways.
Now, some of the people on this schedule were young as 11. Insert a non-biodegradable drug delivery implant, female to male transgender person. This was in May of 23, 10 a.m., patient age 12, female, specialty services requested, gender dysphoria in pediatric patient, scheduled June 12, 2023, 10:45 a.m., patient age 12, male, starting puberty blockers. This is the evidence that you had, in addition to other things, that this was continuing. What do you make of the fact that these major medical organizations have signed off on this absent studies that show there aren't negative consequences to this long term?
You know, I think that's probably the most difficult thing for people to understand. Now, you have all these prestigious institutions, all these prestigious hospitals who are signing off on this and endorsing it. But the fact is, it's not based on any evidence. It's not based on any even logical reasoning. They can't even define the terms in which they're seeking to intervene on. And this is not medicine.
And you believe that the information that you released may have influenced the passing of State Bill 14, which raises the age to 18 for children to be able to receive this?
I think so, yeah.
Now, Democratic State Representative Sean Thierry voted for the bill, and this video of her has gotten 2.3 million views on social media. Take a look.
Members, it is out of respect, caring, and friendship for every member of this body that I would like to share my position on this very complex issue. I am making a decision to place the safety and well-being of all young people over the comfort of political expediency. It is my core belief and conclusion that we should remain consistent in the premise that children must be given special provisions under the law, as they cannot fully appreciate the long-term consequences of their actions. As such, the best practice should be to raise the age to 18 for gender modification. Moving forward with this prudent policy, we should also ensure that vulnerable children and teenagers have quality access to mental health care that is safe and in a supportive environment. Only by taking a careful, compassionate, and evidence-based approach to this issue.
And that's the problem. Their mental health professionals, they're on board with all of this. They push, it's not a secret. Like, they're on board with this, a lot of them. I'm not saying all of them, but the majority of them are on board with this. They have delved right, they're in this. They changed the definition years ago. It would have been around 2014, maybe 13, I don't know. It was somewhere between then, somewhere in that area. They changed the definition. Everything else remained the same as far as treatment, right? You just kind of treat as you go, so on and so forth. And if they begin to show signs of desperation, then possibly look at this surgery. That's what it used to say. Then they changed it to modified a little bit. I think, again, somewhere between 2015 and now. I can't remember exactly when. They altered it a little. And that's when this took off. It literally gives these people who have poisoned our children with Ritalin and all these other drugs because a teacher said, like I said last night, or not last night, the Wednesday night show, that have just, they make the decisions, right? They make the decisions. The teachers say, oh, your kid, he fidgets, he draws, she doesn't pay attention, she doesn't look at me all the time. We need to do something about this, right? You'll go get her on drugs. And these are the same people writing these prescriptions for your children that are also destroying their future, their whole bodies for the rest of their lives based on junk science.
Can we guarantee that we are doing what is truly in the best interest of our children?
I think what she's saying in essence is these comorbid conditions that exist with the diagnosis should be dealt with in a mental health environment and at least treated and resolved before any kind of treatment that's considered gender-affirming care be undertaken.
I was working in a pediatric gender center for 4.5 years, primarily responsible for patient intakes. The center followed this message that transition would solve everything, that it would solve a child's mental health problems. There were very few written protocols or guidelines. One of the providers even said we were flying the plane as we built it. Doctors are acting like they're God when it comes to medically transitioning children. Children could identify themselves as transgender, see a therapist for one visit, see our endocrinologist for one visit, and end up with hormones that would impact and change their bodies for their lifetime. These were identities that were still shifting and changing, but the treatments were irreversible and permanent. I saw a young person who was begging to have their breasts put back on after having surgery. We were encouraged not to make a big deal out of it and definitely not to tell other families. I couldn't continue to be silent on it. The medical harms and trauma that I saw with these teens just took over my life. I was told I could no longer raise concerns or even use the phrase, I have concerns about a patient. I have no trust in this industry, medically transitioning minors anymore.
Well, Jamie, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You describe yourself as a queer woman married to a transgender man.
Yes.
And you're a member of the LGBTQ community.
Or at least she was. Look at her face when he says that. Like, even they get sick of the letters, I would think. Maybe that's just a coincidence her face looks like that. Sorry, Podbean and other listeners. But it almost looks like she's mid-rolling her eyes just by hearing that. But at the end of the day, I can guarantee you she's not considered part of that community anymore for coming and speaking the truth. There's literally no way that she is. They start calling these people transphobes, even if they're transgender, and they speak out against it. What's the name of that one YouTuber? Is it TikTok? Maybe both. Buck something. It's a female to male and totally against doing this to kids. Leave kids alone, and they're transphobic. These people are called transphobic. When I said there, I didn't mean Buck. I don't do the they, them, there. But these people are considered to be transphobic by their own community of other people who are trans. It's insanity. We live in, well, we live in clown world. You know, and the saddest thing is it's beginning to slip from being funny to just dangerous for people, you know, and their futures.
And you went there to do something good, something positive at this clinic in St. Louis. What changed your mind?
A number of things. We started to see patients who were experiencing very significant medical harms, being rushed to the emergency room with lacerations requiring stitches. We had patients contact us who were begging to have body parts put back on within months of having surgeries. And the thing that kept happening is every time I would raise concerns and ask about the protocols and ask about the guidelines, this is just how the industry works. If a child says they're trans, there's no questioning it. We just say, yep, you're trans. What would you like?
Same went with the vaccines, wasn't it? That's exactly what happened with the vaccines. We just had a football player today, it came out in the news. He was ready to be drafted and he died from a heart attack. They're going to say it was something else. They always hold, you know, if it's not a heart attack, it just varies so much how they handle these cases. Like there's people that die and then you wait months and months and months and then it's, oh, you know, it was an OD. All these people were forced to take vaccines. They're so safe and effective. Everybody should take it. You should take it. Totally take it. And it turns out they're not really. because they let out these studies that show that they're not. And then those get buried under news that, oh, no, the CDC says they're safe and effective. Oh, these fact checkers say they're safe and effective. Forget these science. We only trust the science when we've been stupid enough to line up for all 9 vaccines of mRNA technology that we don't know what the effects really are. We're still learning. We're still learning. They said we were crazy for saying that because the frontline doctors told us they'd be shedding this. And then a study just releases into the night. People don't even remember it exists. That says, yeah, they shed the spike proteins of this or whatever it was, of the, I think it was spike proteins, onto other people from this vaccine for X amount of days. So that means if you're around somebody that freshly got this vaccine and you didn't want the vaccine, you're getting some of the negative effects of this. But we're the selfish ones for not wanting it, right? We're the selfish ones. And they buried that study as fast as that came into the news.
You're telling me that a 12 or 13 year old who can't decide which pajamas to wear can come in and say, I've decided that I want to transition. And with no more than a couple of hours or two visits, not even a couple of hours, two visits, they say, okay, start taking this, start doing this, which alters their biochemistry in a way that you can't come back from.
Correct.
And you say you saw dramatic increases in teenage girls that had no previous history of gender distress, and they suddenly declared themselves transgender and demanded immediate testosterone blockers.
Yeah, when I started, so I was there for 4.5 years. When I started, I maybe would have 5 to 10 new incoming patients a month. By the time I left, it was close to 50 every single month. And my background is in clinical research, and so I started looking at the data. I wanted to know what the numbers told me. And towards the end of my tenure, 73% of the new patients coming to us were girls who were in their teen years. So in that really vulnerable age of like 13 to 16, where they are just exposed to so many social pressures and they're so empathetic to what's going on around them too, that they really pick up on what's going on in their peer group. We had clusters where it would be a handful of one whole high school classroom would come in all trans identified.
Historically.
And we're not gonna even mention the fact that that's not odd to anybody, that this one whole classroom came in trans identified. That's the teachers. That's called brainwashing. That's called indoctrination. The fact that she seemed confused about that, like, that blows my mind. Like, that is indoctrination. That's how that works. That's exactly how that works. You're going to be special if you become the opposite sex than you actually are. You'll be a different class of person. Nobody can question you. Nobody can treat you badly. Nobody can do this. There's laws to protect you now. You are better than human if you do this, because you're safe from all persecution. And then people like me and others who say this is insanity, we're the bad guys, even though it's clearly insanity.
This typically would be males.
Yeah.
And you would have a female how often?
Oh, very rare. And also the ages were different. So it would usually be younger boys who seemed very feminine or had feminine traits to their family, right. And their families would seek care, trying to understand what was going on for their young male child. This was never something that would start in adolescence. And these girls were also learning on TikTok, Instagram. They would come in and they would almost have the exact same.
TikTok, Instagram, and their teachers. Come on now. Yes, she's right. That is two issues there. But these teachers do the same. They've actually, man, I keep pausing it on the worst faces for this poor lady. I'm sorry, lady. But anyway, teachers are encouraged to do this kind of thing. There's been documentaries done. I'm not even going to go through them all where they say, yeah, the teachers pushed it. There was that lady, I think she was in California, who lost her daughter and then she jumped in front of a train because the teachers pushed this ideology on her, and then they took her child away. And she ended up with some raging left liberals who thought that they would just, you know, help continue the programming. And they did. And she got so distraught, she jumped in front of a train and became hamburger. Like, but that's okay. We're not allowed to talk about that. And if you do, you're a transphobe.
Storyline too. Like, they learned what to say from a video to explain, oh no, really, I've felt this way from early childhood, but a lot of their parents couldn't remember anything like that. And part of what's going on right now is that if you question this at all, you are immediately called transphobic, you're immediately called homophobic, you're immediately considered a bigot, and it's just not scientific reality.
So there you have it. She said that there's kids that are begging to have body parts put back on after this surgery, and that it's mostly boys that are seeking the surgery. They're destroying the men even further. I wrote a whole article on this. It all ties together. They've started destroying the guy, the man, the man, the male figure, the fatherly figure, the, you know, all of this stuff, the nuclear family. Years ago, the feminist movement had a big hand in this, right? And now fast forward to the day, and they just want to make them into women. We just had one of the rare female-to-male transitions get her ass beat in boxing against a male. She joined men's boxing as a male, quote-unquote, and lost. But when you look at the reverse, where males are doing this, they're winning gold medals from women while women stand off to the side and they're put in the spotlight. And there are idiotic women who clap for this, who cheer for the destruction of all of it. They love this. They're demons. They're demons. There's no other descriptor for them. They're demons. When you're ready to live an upside down world so much that you're ready to go vote for the person bringing you your slums, you used to live in a nice neighborhood. Now there's a tent in your front yard that some homeless guy has. You can't get rid of them because you're the jerk if you do. When you continue to support the ideology that's getting women's faces caved in women's sports, legs broken two places in women's sports. And so you're a freaking demon. You are you ever said there's a movie, Hereditary, and the demon in that one that was messing with everybody through the whole movie was like the trickster demon or whatever. Like, that's what they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's just creepy and weird that people that live like this. And when they're not voting to destroy their own lives and their own environments, and when they're not cheering for the destruction of women physically and just in general, they're doing other stupid, crazy things, supporting other stupid, crazy ideologies like abortion. These people lose their mind at the thought of not being able to murder a child in a woman's womb. They get sick to the stomach at the thought of it. Explain this to me. It makes no sense. It's statistically, most abortions performed by anybody that performs abortions are because that woman and whoever she was with for one night or in a bad relationship, whatever, got pregnant and that's how and doesn't want the child. The man has no say, mind you, at all. The man could be like, no, I totally want this child. Well, the woman's the one who's going to give birth to it. Yeah, well, she should have thought of that before, you know, being drunk at the bar and going home with this guy, right? But at the end of the day, they cannot stand the fact that there are states saying, no, you're going to be accountable for whatever spawns you produce into the world. You're going to be held accountable for that. Now, I've said numerous times, I think if it's going to take the woman's life, that's understandable. But that's the rare event of abortion. That's like, what, 3%? I'm probably high on that. It's very rare that that's the actual reason that they do these, even though they always point to it. It's such a disgusting time to be alive, right? It's just a disgusting time to be alive. And I don't know how people can cheer any of this on. What's worse is people used to hold these crazy ideas, and then they get older, and a lot of times they kind of switch to a more level-headed, like, common sense. It doesn't happen anymore. It just doesn't happen anymore. I don't know what changed. It wasn't Trump. This started a while ago, you know, probably mid-2000s. 2000, sometime when Bush was president and when before Obama left. this insanity amped up, and then they really amped it up under Trump. Don't get me wrong, we all saw it. But like, holy crap, y'all. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's just crazy. But here we go. Here's another one. And of course, this is Don't Walk, Run Productions, and one of my favorite YouTube channels. I truly, this guy is awesome at what he does. I love it. I wish I could do things like he does. He breaks it down so well. People say I do. I just don't see it myself. But, you know, I guess that's because it's me. But anyway, you got to hear this. The title of the video is Congressman Blames High Prices, Poor Economy on Social Media. And yes, he's not lying. And this is something else. So here you go.
This is Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC's Morning Joe, a show that Joe Biden probably thinks was named after him. Recently, Mika introduced a segment featuring undecided voters from Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, three swing states that Joe Biden won in the last election.
So let's start. Here are their answers when they're asked about how President Biden is doing on the economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Please raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is every.
I just want to point out there's clearly a Muslim woman. There's kind of a, I don't know, he probably is a 30-year-old. Sorry for the people watching the video who can see it, but this also goes out on voice only as well. There's an older gentleman. There's a black female. There's an older woman. There's another woman who is about the same age as maybe that. No, she's probably 40-ish. There's another woman that's probably somewhere between 40 and 50, I'd say. I don't know. And then there's another guy that's probably 40s. And that's the panel. And then there's the guy asking. And they all put their hands up. So you couldn't see that, but that's what just happened. They all put their hands up. Swing states.
Everybody.
Oh, that's everybody, all right. And it shouldn't be surprising in the slightest, because when it comes to the economy, Joe Biden's approval rating has been in the toilet for the last few years.
President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I always post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but you can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
And undecided Sean is right. When it comes to the economy, Biden and the Democrats love to try and rewrite history.
We have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing.
But that's a lie. When Joe Biden entered office, the year-over-year inflation rate was at 1.4% and had not been higher than that for the previous 9 months. Does this look like it was skyrocketing? In fact, Donald Trump left Joe Biden the fastest and strongest economic recovery in United States history, and Joe Biden almost immediately screwed it all up. In just 5 months under Joe Biden, it had jumped to 5.4%. And 1 year after Biden took office, it had risen to 7.5%. And 5 months after that, it had risen to a 40-year high of 9.1%.
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability, like he's in denial that it's happening.
And that's 100% correct.
Everybody on the screen but the guy asking questions were nodding in agreement, by the way, for those who can't see.
This past March, inflation rose to 3.5% year over year. And instead of accountability, Joe Biden's go-to is to attack Republicans.
And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people.
Republicans want to raise taxes. Do they also want to defund the police too? But obviously, Joe Biden's plan to deal with it isn't working, as inflation hasn't been below 3% in 3 years. And I need to point out that the Federal Reserve's inflation target is 2%. And with inflation not cooling, the chance of the Fed cutting interest rates anytime soon is pretty much zero to none. And voters know that high interest rates are a big problem.
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down, but like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
Even if you're trying to buy a house, because I'm trying to become a first-time home buyer, the prices are so high right now.
And as undecided Tanisha was saying that, the average 30-year fixed mortgage APR was 7.266%. And mortgage rates are higher than they've been in 22 years. The highest they were under Trump was 4.94%. Pre-pandemic, they were hovering around 3.6-3.7%. And when he left office, they were at 2.77%. So the economy under President Trump was better. Inflation was lower.
And keep in mind, sorry, my mic got bumped. Keep in mind that when he left office, COVID had already been around for at least a year. He left in January. We started hearing about COVID showing up on our shores from the news. I mean, it had been here before that. We found out later, supposedly, if you believe in COVID. And so January 2020 is when it all started popping off. You started hearing little hints about it in China in late 2019. But I remember having a channel on YouTube and covering it when I was still doing robot voices and stuff, because I didn't have the microphones and all that. I was just like, "Hell, I'll do it that way." But yeah, so a year later, a year after the pandemic, quote unquote, they were still low mortgage rates. But we just have to ignore that for a narrative.
Mortgage rates were a lot lower, and gas prices, oh my God. And the undecideds, along with most of America, know that when Joe Biden puts a happy face on the economy, that it's all smoke and mirrors.
The point is, Biden needs to hear the people, because when he's talking about the economy doing stellar, he's talking about the stock market. He's not looking at homelessness or joblessness. He's not, at Haji's point, thinking about how much it costs to go to the grocery store. And he's gaslighting literally everyone in the process.
Okay. And Omar, you voted for Joe Biden last time, right?
Yeah.
Ouch. And when undecided Omar says that Joe Biden is gaslighting voters on the economy, he's 100% correct.
We have a chance to really turn this country in the right direction, move in directions that are, we have the most vibrant economy in the world. We got a lot more to do.
More to do? Haven't you done enough damage already, Joe? And say what you want about President Trump, but he never gaslighted voters about the state of the economy. But then again, he never had to in the first place.
Hearing all of that, you might think things are bad for the Biden campaign. But President Biden's Trump card might be Donald Trump. Listen to this group's thoughts, undecided voters, on the former president.
I just think Donald Trump is mean. He's a bully. And I think his policies are solid. I pretty much agree with most of them. I just don't like him as a leader.
But here's a question, undecided Virginia. Would you rather have a mean president who is effective, or a doddering fool that needs cue cards telling him exactly what to say during heavily scripted meetings with world leaders, complete with instructions on when to pause while speaking?
And that was, and he's got a image up from the New York Post, and it shows highlighted text telling him what to say, something to we're committed to security, blah, 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 and partners and blah, blah, blah in Iraq. And then circled in red is the word pause. Like, is this real life? He's reading a script. He's literally reading a script. He is reading a script, y'all.
Which should not be surprising, considering that Joe Biden needs instructions on how to enter a room, when to say hello, and when to sit in a chair. I'm not kidding, by the way.
And that is also on the screen. You enter the Roosevelt Room and you say hello to participants. You take your seat. Press enters. You give brief comments, 2 minutes. Press departs. You talk to Liz Shuler. You ask Liz Shuler, President AFL-CIO. Oh, the AFL, yes. It just says but it cuts off there. But anyway, yeah, sequence of events for Joe Biden. That is the list here.
By the way, this is real.
I don't think he does a lot to try to bring groups together. And you know, from when he ran the last time, our country became so divided. And I don't know if it's anything particular about what he said or did, but our country really just, we really picked sides on this.
But
well, you had the media, you had influencers, you had all this fakeness, you had these fake allegations, you had fake leaks coming. Oh, unnamed sources are saying. You had all the media panic. We're going to get into nuclear war, World War III. We've never been closer to World War III than we are right now. And that's not a joke. Like, we are close to World War III right now. And we're talking about the economy. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about transgenders. And we're close on, we're like right there at the edge of the plateau, heading off the cliff towards World War III, right? And you see memes floating around, oh, I've been in World War III, it's an information. No, there's, that might be part of it to some degree, but we're headed towards literal World War III. So maybe watch the show Fallout, which actually isn't woke, and it was pretty damn good, I think. Me and my wife watched the whole thing, so that you could learn what it'll be like 200 years from now after this happens, if it does.
Honestly, you can't say that Joe Biden is doing anything to fix divisions in the country. You know, unless you think that calling half the country extremists who want to destroy our democracy is any better.
Trump is so volatile, and not only internal strife and conflict, but, you know, like, I don't feel comfortable with him calling someone with nukes rocket men.
Little rocket men.
Come on. How is that not hilarious? And believe it or not, it was all very calculated.
Now he's talking about a massive weapon exploding over the ocean. Pacific Ocean, which causes tremendous, tremendous calamity. Where that plume goes, so goes cancer, so goes tremendous problems. And I want to tell you something, and I'm sure he's listening because he watches every word, and I guarantee you one thing, he's watching us like he never watched anybody before. That I can tell you.
But instead of starting a nuclear war, Trump actually did what Obama and Biden refused to do, and that's meet with the North Korean leader. What followed was a historic summit between President Trump and Chairman Kim Jong-un. It also led to this historic moment where Trump became the first United States president to cross the demilitarized zone and step into North Korea. If you were lucky enough to watch it as it happened live, you'll understand how thrilling and important this was. On the other hand, here's Joe Biden's idea of lowering the temperature.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
24 hours later.
Iran has launched a direct attack on Israel, firing dozens of drones toward the country.
Has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah,
and so let's talk about,
and they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night.
I'll save you the trouble, Kirby. Joke Biden told Iran not to attack Israel. And Iran ignored Biden, like they always do. And then we shot down a bunch of their missiles. But wow, we sure showed them who's boss, huh?
The president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that...
Anyway, Morning Joe Mika brought on U.S. Congressman and Biden campaign co-chair Jim Clyburn and asked him to comment on what he saw from the undecideds.
Looking at their own personal economies, and they're feeling like they're being gaslit. They're feeling Joe Biden isn't accountable. What's your response to that, and how can the campaign address these feelings?
I think that we have to focus on people's everyday lives. And 401ks are not about people's everyday lives.
What? So for clarity, this undecided voter, like many, many Americans, is worried about the performance of his 401k and his retirement. But Jim Clyburn is like, 401ks aren't about people's everyday lives.
There are concerns about things like inflation. But what we've got to get them to see is that inflation today is about 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office.
That's a lie. Again, inflation was at 1.4% when Biden entered office, and it's currently at 3.5%. Saying inflation is about 40% of what it was is mathematically impossible.
And so the inflation rates are down and people's incomes are up.
Not true. In March, average hourly earnings increased by 0.12%, but inflation increased more by 0.4%. In total, real average weekly earnings are down 4.2% under Biden. Overall inflation is up 18.9%.
Unemployment is on the decrease.
No, it's not. In the last year, the unemployment rate has been slowly increasing.
So what we've got to do is make sure that people see the policies of the Biden administration, how they affect their everyday lives, and get them to see in his policies that which is real, not what they may hear on social media.
Oh, I see. When people notice that their 401k is underperforming, it's social media's fault. Mortgage rates too high to buy a home? It's that pesky misinformation. And if you notice that the price of eggs has risen almost 50% since Biden took office, who cares? I mean, who buys eggs every day?
The misrepresentation, disinformation, all of those things are out there. And that's the battle that we have to fight. And we've got to do a better job of fighting it more effectively.
Pro tip, Congressman, if you want to fight disinformation, first thing you need to do is to stop spreading it yourself. Anyway, on that note, that's it for now. Follow me on X at Don't Walk Run. And while you're at it, subscribe to the channel. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope to see you next time. If there is a next time.
And there you have it, folks. And the funniest thing is that through that whole thing, for those who couldn't see and maybe those who could see, go back and take another look at that. The people that were all, I think that was Al Sharpton on there. There was Mika and Joe and somebody, I don't know, some other people. And they all just had the most serious look on their face, and they totally agreed with what he was saying. That is how out of touch these people actually are. They're so out of touch that they think that that we're making all this up in our heads. We're all too stupid to understand that everything's fine. It's all fine. Except for rich people who we talked about on the Ben and Joe show, fleeing the country with their passports and stuff. They're getting multiple passports to protect their finances so they can flee when everything collapses, because that's where we're heading. Not for nothing, but that's where we're heading. Now let's take a look at this last video. This is coming from Paul Joseph Watson. I just wanted to cover this one really quick because, my God, we've been told this is untrue or fake, not real.
Did you hear about the worrying new epidemic? Schools across America are on high alert for an outbreak of... furries.
What the fuck is this one? Hey, bark! Oh, hell no. Nah. Y'all niggas wildin' on my mama.
Do not make fun of her.
What the fuck? Talking about do not make fun of this. What the fuck is this? Y'all niggas doing this shit in public?
Now, for those of you who can't see, this is either a sister and a brother going to school, or a girlfriend and a boyfriend going to school. The boy, I think it's a boy, who knows nowadays, is crawling on all fours with their backpack on the back. I'm calling them they because literally they're a furry. I don't know if they're supposed to be a dog because they didn't appear to have their outfit on. They have the backpack on. This person is crawling on all fours, and this dude who's clearly a black dude is like, what is going on here? And the first thing out of the girl who's standing upright's mouth is, do not make fun of him.
What was once a bizarre, obscure subculture, young people pretending to be animals, even adopting fursona costumes, is now exploding into the playground and classrooms to the extent that pupils and parents at a middle school in Utah staged a protest against it.
We the people, not the animals! We the people, not the animals!
After furries began growling, barking, pouncing on them, even biting them, as well as spraying Febreze in their eyes.
They attack us! They bite us and we just kick them! We
get in trouble.
They attack us.
They attack us and we get in trouble.
How else do they attack you guys?
They either bite us, they scratch us.
The kids say they're being constantly harassed and assaulted.
Reports of harassment.
Okay.
You guys cannot record me without my permission.
This is video a Nebo Middle School student took last week. Parents say there's an issue between some students and others who call themselves furries.
But teachers, fresh from their diversity and inclusivity training, took the side of the furries and blamed them.
The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
Yeah.
All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice.
The kids claim that the school's demand for tolerance is driven by the fact that the principal's own child is a furry.
These kids are mentally ill and they're trying to force their illness upon us. They're wearing animal costumes, they're growling at us, barking at us in class, and it's very distracting and we just want to come to school.
They're barking at you in class?
Yeah.
Then the media got involved and together with the school began gaslighting everyone by claiming the entire thing was just rumors run wild, a hoax, a moral panic.
But how much of that discontent is fueled by rumor?
Seth Sorensen says no one was scratching or biting anyone and that there are a lot of untrue rumors going around.
It actually is not something that's been occurring. In fact, a lot of the information that's been put out there is completely incorrect.
Salt Lake Tribune then fact-checked the issue, admitting that the students were wearing animal ears and acting like animals, but that they weren't furries. They're basically just demonizing the dozens of kids who protested about it as liars.
So, we can't talk or say anything to the furries or even look at them, but they can come look at us and they can say stuff to us and touch us.
But Utah Parents United issued a statement saying they had confirmed the reports, which even includes students chewing on sticks in class. And when they complained about the threatening and inappropriate behavior, they were basically told to just shut up and accept it in the name of diversity and inclusion. Highlighting the insanity of the school's position, in comparison, an actual furry sounded like the voice of reason and said it should be kept out of schools.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school. Hours.
Yeah, when someone in a giant dog costume calling themselves Strudel makes you look stupid.
Thank you.
Chances are you've come down on the wrong side of the issue. Across the board, the drive to challenge and scramble identity is relentless. They'll rush to protect furries while demonizing normal heterosexual masculine men, calling them toxic. But the attack is also biological. Testosterone levels have been declining for decades. Thankful boosters on the market. Conquer our overall well-being. Fight. Forest Turkesterone. Forest tells me this product is masculinity and feminine. Amazing 48-hour only supplements via the link down below. According to the kids, the furries even have a panther den, which the other children aren't allowed to go in.
And if you walk in the panther den, they'll say, hey, get out, you can't be annoying the furries. If you go close to them, they'll get all fours and come bark at you.
There's apparently...
The school is called Mount Nebo in Utah.
Video of these furries interrupting class, but the student who filmed it was the one who got reprimanded.
My son had taken some videos and showed me, so I called the school that afternoon. Mr. James had told me that he wasn't aware of any of them wearing masks, and when I told my son that that's who I had spoke to,
he said, one second. That told me to stop talking to him.
To stop recording.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't want you recording the furries?
Mm-mm.
So when I went in the next morning to talk to him, I was like, well, I thought you didn't know about them. Then why were you the one that told my son to stop recording?
We're still waiting on a comment from the governor of Utah.
And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his.
But the media narrative that this is all a contrived panic and that it's not actually happening is one that we've seen replicated here in the UK. But even in my local village, and this hasn't even made the news, suggesting how widespread it is, there are kids in school who identify as cats and demand and are given litter trays and are allowed to meow in class. I spoke to locals in the school who saw it happen. Yet there's entire Wikipedia pages dedicated to the litter box hoax. It's not a hoax, it's literally happening down the road from where I live. Don't be surprised when a generation who's told that they can identify as infinity different genders start to identify as cats and dogs. Don't be surprised at the consequences of social engineering when this is what's being shown to fourth graders at an elementary school in Georgia.
And we could try to meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
It's a puppet show.
A cat.
Like Sesame Street.
He thinks he's a cat.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's not weird, just different.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask Barry to change who he is.
That would make him really sad.
It's even being normalized in daytime TV soaps.
Oh, yes! I love it!
There's a lot of prejudice around furries, especially the ones with fursonas.
So dressing up as an animal is normal behavior?
That's no different to dressing up as any other character.
The furry subculture is growing to such an extent in schools. The Our Safe for Schools website has a lengthy advisory page for teachers dedicated to it. The most alarming takeaway? A young person adopting a fursona can take on a subjective age, meaning behind the costume a minor can identify as an adult. They warn that online wrongans are pretending to be into furry subculture as an excuse to talk to and nonce on kids. Strange, isn't it, how these kinds of things always seem to end up back there?
There you have it. There you have it. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Why would you try to hide it? If you're proud of it, why do you need fact checkers? And, you know, he showed that video of the puppets where the human woman is like, oh, you know, it's not weird, it's just different, and blah, blah, blah. We've been having that shoved down our throats in schools with various PSA-type shows, movies, whatever, films, since I can remember. Same thing. Oh, they're just different. Different. You know, and it wasn't necessarily about furries or anything. It was just in general, regular kids, you know. But now they're doing it with, oh, this person, this dog, this puppet identifies as a cat, even though he's a dog. You know, well, what is the what is the human version of that, right? You know, a furry, a transgender, whatever you want to call it. So that's where we're at in the world. And then, like you said, they go ahead and they fact check it, and they say that it's not true, even though you can see with your own eyes that it is true, and even though children are saying that that it is true, even at my local school here, where my daughter does not go, thank goodness. The one that I mentioned was surrounded by gay pride flags. Both schools are surrounded. Well, technically it's three schools. Two of them are combined. It's four schools. Yeah. All combined into two locations, basically. And then there's like this, just up the street from the preschool is like this children's daycare / school thing. I want to say it's like preschool, but it's not. It's for most kids above a certain age that aren't in school yet. Parents drop their kids off. There's a playground stuff. That's right up the road. So everywhere where kids are definitely going to be throughout most of the year, these people have set up flags. And we wonder why everything's so messed up now, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. My brain has caved in on itself for the night, because today was insane with everything that I shared with you. And this wasn't even everything. This is already almost an hour show, and I barely showed you half of what I even have seen today. So, but anyway, guys, until next time, be safe, be prepared, and keep an eye out for tornadoes if you're in the Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Kentucky, possibly even Texas still. That one kind of faded out, and they kind of picked up on the ones I mentioned first. I'm not sure if the Texas storms are gone yet. Just be safe out there. Be cautious. And until next time, be safe, be prepared, and don't be a jerk about it, I guess. And we will talk to you very, very soon.